Why should we even bother loving people? What's the point? Is there a reason why we should love each other? What do you guys think? Like, let me hear from you. Other than a Sunday school answer. All of a sudden all the hands go up. Okay. Because it's just the right thing to do. What if I had never stepped foot in a church to know that the Bible says that, or that that's the only way I can show people who God is? Like, would I still care about loving other people? Like, does it matter? The Bible's full of illustrations and examples and verses that talk about love. You guys are absolutely right. Y'all said it, okay? The Bible has more places in it that talk about love than any other topic. But in real life, like in the real world, why bother loving people? What difference does it make? Why do we even care about loving other people? Because you want to be loved back. Because we want to live in a place where people aren't just killing each other, where you don't just steal whatever you want from other people, where you know that if you're hurting or sick, that someone's got your back. We want to live in a place that's actually worth living in, and we can't do that unless we actually love each other and put other people first. But yet we don't do that so often, right? Like, we want to live in that place. We just said it. And we know that God says it over here. So if we're religious or we go to church and we believe in the Bible, okay, cool. So God says to do it, and I know that that's the type of place I want to live in. But here's the real life question for us. Do we do it? If it's so important on both sides of the fence, whether you're just talking from the world or you're talking from God, if it's so important, how come we can find so many times in our lives where we're not loving at all? And so I'm watching this video this week and I'm seeing these people and I'm thinking, like, you're doing laundry. Like, first of all, it's like, big deal. Okay. And then second, I'm thinking, wait a minute, these people are walking in with disgusting laundry. It's not like laundry is this like really cool thing you want to like take people's dirty clothes and play with, you know, like, unless you're just a freak. But I mean, like, it's gross. Think about like after you've been like doing something active outside and how bad your clothes smell, and you're going to walk in and some really nice old lady walks up to you and she's like, let me take that. No, like, I don't want you smelling my dirty laundry. Like, this is disgusting. Like, I've sweat in this laundry. It's gross. It's basically like as hard as a rock. Like, I could put my shirt up and it would just stand like this. It's so nasty. Like, you don't want to touch my clothes. It's embarrassing. It's like, don't touch that. Like, you'll know like how gross I am. And so I'm watching this video and I'm thinking about myself. If I had walked into that laundromat and this group of people walked up to me and were like, hey, give me your clothes. Let me do your laundry. I'd be like, don't touch my clothes. It's embarrassing. It's gross. Like, and so I started to think about it more and more. Like, wait, this isn't as cheesy as I thought. This isn't as ridiculous as I thought. Like, these people are serving in a way where it's going to make an impact. Obviously, this message isn't on doing people's laundry. We're not going to start a laundry ministry, all right? But it struck me because the way they were loving people. They didn't just take their Bibles and walk into a laundromat and start, like, ripping pages out and posting it everywhere and hold up a sign and be like, get saved or go to hell! You know, like, that's not what they were doing. They're walking in and practically, in a very practical, real-life way, just saying, I love you enough to take your disgusting, dirty laundry and wash it for you. And you know what? I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not even like necessarily inviting you to my church. I'm just doing it. And people are like, what? Why? Somebody said it over here earlier. The reason why they did it was because, you guys read their shirts? It just said love. Like, the love of Christ is what compels us to do this, period. That's it. There's no strings attached. The love that I'm showing to you is just because of Jesus, period. I get nothing out of it. It's selfless and it's about Christ. And so we've been talking about the church the last few weeks. We've been learning what that is and call it it's ekklesia, right, in Greek, which means we're called out of the world and who we used to be, and we're put into Jesus. We become His children, children of God. And so we're different. We have new identities. And we've been studying what that means. Like, we become different. And so this week, one of the things that I wanted us to look at, that as the church, as different people, the Bible says that we do something really, really well. And it's what we've been talking about for the last 3 minutes. We love. Because it does matter. That's why we should bother with it, because it really does matter. It matters in a theoretical, theological world of talking about the Bible, but it also matters in just straight up real life, because we just said to each other, that's the type of world we want to live in. Like, you don't want to live in a place where people hate you, right? You want to be surrounded by people who love you, but you know how that happens? By you being a person who loves. And so if anyone's going to do that well, it should be the body of Christ. It should be us. How do you love people? Will you stop for just a second and think before we even get into the scripture and just think like, all right, honestly, with myself here, nobody can hear it. Do I really love people? Do I just, is it a feeling that I feel? Or do I actually do something about it? Maybe you're not doing laundry for people, but you legitimately do love people. All right, turn to 1 Peter 1:22 or look on the screen. And Paul's going to teach us a little bit about how the church is supposed to love each other. Because one of the things that the church is supposed to do really well is love each other. And someone said it over here, because Jesus has done that for us. He modeled it. He showed us exactly what true love looked like when He hung on a cross. Now, we talk about hanging on a cross today and nobody even bats an eyelash. I say hang on a cross and you guys just look at it when you keep texting on your phones or whatever you're doing right now. Like, you don't even pay attention. Like, it's not a big deal. A dude hung on a cross. Nails went through his hands and feet the size of railroad spikes. He was beaten past recognition. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his scalp. He was tortured as He hung there, gasping for air, suffering. He took the eternal, infinite amount of wrath of God Himself, which you and I can't even comprehend when I say the words or know what that means. He took that for us. So that we could sit here today and go, yep, that's cool. I hope it shakes us to the core what Christ did for us. The amount of love that Christ showed, not for nameless people, but for you as you're sitting here tonight. For whatever you brought to this place, or however you view what I'm saying right now, whatever you think of it, He did it for you. He showed you how to love by loving you. He made it personal. He said, let me show you in a way you'll never forget. I'll do it for you. And then He says, church, those of you I died for, I want you to do that for each other. I want you guys to love each other that way. And so we see in 1 Peter 1:22, check this out, what Peter says here. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Just stop for a second. Wait a minute. I have to purify my soul by being obedient? Does that mean that, like, there's something I got to do here to get my soul clean? We're talking about laundry. Am I supposed to, like, wring out my soul? Like, how do I purify my soul? Does anybody know? Like, what is this obedience He's talking about that gets my soul pure? Is there some list of rules I have to follow? Is it, like, the Old Testament laws that, like, are hundreds and hundreds of laws I got to figure out and keep them all perfectly, and all of a sudden, yes, now I'm pure, Jesus, here I am. Is that what happens? Shake your head, yes or no? Are you guys awake? Are you there? Like, is that how we do it? Like, what do you think? Where does He talk about purifying my soul? I'm the only one in the room. All right, I'll give you a hint. There's no list of rules you can follow. There's not this big church list that's like, all right, dude, do these things, all of a sudden your soul's going to get cleaned up a little bit. You do these things over here, you can wipe out some of the stains. God will forgive you for these sins if you do this. There are some denominations that believe that. They do. They follow that. Say these prayers, it'll get these things forgiven. That's not what he's saying here. Peter's saying that as you obey the truth, and what's the truth? The truth is what I just told you, that Jesus died on that cross for you. And if you trust in Jesus and you obey the truth of trusting in Jesus, he's going to purify your soul. That's our name, Ecclesia. As you trust in Jesus, he takes you out of your sin and gives you a pure identity and a pure soul before God. He says, I forgive you. You don't deserve to be forgiven. You're still sinning today. We've all probably, we have all sinned today. If we needed to raise our hand and say, how many of you guys sinned today? We'd all have our hands up today. In the last 2 hours, we've probably all in this room sinned. We'd have to raise our hand and say, yes, we sinned. We just did it. Like half an hour ago. Like some of us right now have had perverted thoughts. Pastor reminders, we're sitting here. Lust. Different things going on in our heads. Thinking about other people across the room that we can't stand and we're so mad at. Anger. Different things are going on in us now as we're sitting in church. We are sinful people. I'm preaching to you as a sinful man. Stop the press, right? So I'll leave. Rob's a sinner. Sorry, guys, I am. But then he says, having purified those sinful souls that you have. Well, how has that happened, Jesus? Because we just admitted that right now, some of us are sinning as we sit here. Because you trust in the fact that Christ says, I forgive you when you don't deserve it. I forgive you because I paid the penalty. I love you. You see that word, love? I love you that much that even though you're a sinner, I'm going to die for you. Even though you're a sinner, I'm going to die for you. And what is he doing there? He's showing us what love should look like. He's teaching you how to love. And so when he says, I'm going to purify your soul, check this next part out. Right after he does that, what are the next words? For a sincere brotherly love. Boom, it happens just like that. Did you see it? All right, so you trust in Christ, he purifies your soul, and boom, this brotherly love pops up inside of you. Why? Because he just modeled it for you. I'm going to teach you that I love you more than anything in the world, and I know you have sin, but I forgive you for your sin. But Jesus, I don't deserve that. Like, why'd you do that? Because I love you. And right there, he models it. And he teaches it. And the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart as you've accepted him. And he causes you to be able to love other people the way Jesus loved you. And the Bible actually says the more you've sinned and the more things that you need to be forgiven for, the more you're able to actually forgive other people. Right? Because you understand how big that is that you were forgiven, that you're able to look at someone else and go, I get a lot of forgiveness in me now because I needed to be forgiven a lot. I got a lot of love inside of me now because I needed a lot of love. So let me ask you again. Having heard that, are you loving people? Are you loving people like that? Because look what it says next. Love one another. There's that command, all right? We're supposed to do this. And he uses the word earnestly from a pure heart. He says, earnestly. What do you think earnestly means, Evan? Any ideas back there? You're so smart. Anybody? Casey, I'm going to call people because then you guys are answering me. I'm just going to call them. Emmy? Huh? Who's over there? With haste? All right, that's part of earnestly, yeah. Mally?
Like try hard?
Oh, yeah, like trying hard? What else? What else? Yeah. See, now you're doing it. Here we go. What? Honestly? It's part of it. You guys are all smarter than me. I didn't know I had to look it up. So I looked it up, and in the Greek, it was actually a word that doesn't really sound like earnestly at all. It means to stretch out really far. What? Hold on. To love one another, stretching out really far from a pure heart. What does that mean? Can you picture this? If I'm going to love you, I'm going to love you in a way that causes me to reach out really, really far. So do this for me real quick, unless you're too cool. But junior high wasn't, so I really liked them because they did it. So try to reach the roof without getting up. reach up as high as you can, reach the ceiling, but like actually try to reach it. What if I said, I have a red Ferrari, it's brand new, 2017 outside, it's for you if you could just reach the roof without getting up. Go! See? You're like, I'm going to try so hard, but I can't. All right, you can stop before you pull your back. The reaching that it's talking about here is the reaching that Jesus did when he was on the cross. There's this chasm that's between us and God. And it's called sin, and it's so big that there's no getting over it, period. It's just too big, right? And so what's Jesus do by going to the cross? He reaches so far, he literally dies. He gives his life so that we can have life. He's like, I'm going to show you how much I love you. Because anybody can walk up to you and be like, man, I love you. Cool. You've probably had a lot of people tell you that. There's probably a lot of people who lied to your face and treated you like a total jerk after telling you that. You probably understand, right? Jesus is like, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm going to show you how much I love you because I'm going to literally die on a cross for you. I'm going to reach out past sin that separates us. I'm going to stretch so far that it hurts. How do I know that? Philippians chapter 2 tells us he became a servant. He gave up his own life for you. The God of creation comes to earth, becomes a man. He walks around and stubs his toe. God doesn't need to stub his toe. You know how frustrating it is to stub your toe? You get a cold, have a sick stomach, like experience human life when you're God, when you control those things and then you subject yourself to it. That was interesting. That was like a little teeny piece. He dies on a cross. He takes the wrath of God and he says, I'm stretching. I'm reaching out past what's comfortable. I'm sacrificing myself. I'm being selfless. So here's what it's trying to tell us. Be willing to sacrifice for other people. What? Do you know where we live? This is America. I don't sacrifice for other people. Like, it's all about me. It's me first. We live in a culture that is all about you, you, and you. Everything and everyone tells us, except maybe some churches, and not many, go get yours. Try to be as smart as you can, as intelligent and educated as you can be. Be the best athlete you can be. Get all the scholarships. Gather all the money. Get the best jobs. It's about you. Make yourself great. You can be anything you want. It's even inspirational. Like we see it on these like after school like commercials to inspire kids who aren't doing good in school. They like program us to think, do it better, be a better you. And Jesus says, put you aside. And that is literally the exact opposite of the culture we live in. So if you're sitting here and you don't think you're being lied to, guess what? You are. Jesus is saying, take yourself, put yourself aside and put other people first. That's not going to make a very good commercial for after school, you know. That's not a good pep talk. Come on, put them first. You know, like, whoa. But Jesus says that that's what I did for you. You see, when I went to the cross, I showed you how to love so you could really love one another the right way. And it's called sacrifice. It's called reaching out to the point where it's uncomfortable past yourself to love other people. Here's that question for the third time because I figure I got to ask it at least three times to give it a really good try. Ask yourself one more time. Do I really love people? Specifically, just think about your friends, right? Because that's the easiest group to think about, like your friends and family. Do you love the way Jesus loved? I'm not talking about like that really cute girl sitting next to you. You know, like it's easy to love her. Right? She blinks at you and you're like, oh, I love you. Like, okay, cool. What about the people that might not be top of your list for like the cool chart? Like, I want to hang out with them. Like the people that you probably never would hang out with. Maybe the people that annoy you. Don't point at each other. We already know it's you. You know, I'm just kidding. What about those people? What about your family? What about your mom and dad? What about your teachers as you walk into your class and you can tell your teacher's just having one of those days? Do you automatically buck up like, okay, bring it on, teacher? Like, or are you like, man, maybe my teacher really needs me to be an influence in a positive way to them today, to love them today? put them first. We're messed up when it comes to love, guys. You hear me? I'm not preaching right now. I'm just trying to be honest with you. We're messed up when it comes to love because our view of love is so skewed. Love is about sacrifice and putting other people first. And if the church can't get that, nobody, hear me, nobody is going to get that. Because we have the example of God Himself when He died on a cross for us. He's teaching us to love that way. Do you love your friends that way? Do you really want the best for them? How about your mom and dad and your family? Think about how you're interacting with people right now and say, is that loving? Is that this type of love or is that some other lie love that I've been taught? I was at the hospital this week. A friend of mine who leads up Spanish like ministry at this church, his name's Daniel. He's an older guy. His wife's name's Marta. And they're like the coolest grandparents you could ever have in the world. They're not my grandparents, but they're awesome. And he actually had a heart attack this week. And so I was looking at the church hospital list. The pastors of our church do hospital visits and stuff. And we get this list of people that are in the hospital. I see his name. I'm like, what? So I fly over there to check out what's going on. He had a heart attack and lost 99% of the use of his heart. That's a 9 and a 9. Okay, 99%. I roll up in his room and his wife's sitting over here and he's laying in the bed and he opens his eyes as I walk in and it's just this huge smile on his face and both arms go up and he's like, which is just, if you knew him, he's like a big teddy bear. He wanted a hug and I'm like, all right. So I give him this hug and he like basically breaks my back. He's just an awesome guy, loving guy. He starts talking to me about the ship that came in. You guys know what Seafarers is? It's over in the port. It's just like boats come in and stuff, and they have a ministry to help the people on the boats, the workers. And so he's like, I need to get out of here. I'm like, what? What are you talking about, bro? He's like, I need to get up. Put me in a wheelchair. And his wife's looking at me like, don't do it. He's like, yeah, put me in a wheelchair and just do me a favor. And he's like, just bring me over to Seafarers. I'm like, you're like connected to this, like, well, there's wires all over you, bro. Like, I can't take you out of here. And his wife's just looking at me like, don't you touch him. He's like, going to kill me. I'm like, what are you talking about? Your heart's like not even beating. And it was better by the time I got there. He had more than 99% at that point, but he's still pretty sick. And he's in the bed. I'm like, you can't go anywhere. He's like, look, there's a boat that just came in at Seafarers. I know there's 250 Mexicans that don't speak any English. I've got to get over there. He's like, I need to go preach the gospel. There's people that have needs and nobody knows how to talk to them. How are they going to help the people? I'm like, you kind of need a little bit of help yourself right now, man. Like, you just had a heart attack. He's like, put me in the wheelchair. Like, I'm not putting you in a wheelchair. I basically had to fight this guy for the next, like, 15 minutes and be like, I will personally go over to Seafarers and talk to the Spanish people for you, make sure they're okay, as long as you promise not to, like, trick some nurse into bringing you over to Seafarers. You just stay here. As I sat and just listened to this guy beg me to put him in a wheelchair so he could go preach the gospel from a wheelchair at Seafarers Ministry, I'm thinking, this is a dude who gets love. As he lays there a day after a heart attack, all he can think about is these people who are in need over here. I don't care if I die. I don't care if I just had a heart attack. Roll me over. I'm going to be honest with you. In a moment like that, I tend to look at myself and go, what's wrong with me? Why can't I love like that? Why am I so focused on Rob all the time? Like, oh, this is going wrong. And oh, that's going wrong. Instead of saying, you know what? There's a world out there of hurting people that need love. And if I'd just be willing to love the way Jesus did and reach out to these people and put them first, man, what a difference this world would be, like we said in the beginning. That might be the world we'd want to live in. But it's going to start with us. God's calling His church to be the people to show people how to love when we love each other. I want you to see this next video real quick of a small group of people, a life group basically like you guys have, that got it. Like they knew how to really love each other well and put other people first. Check this video out real quick. understand what that lady felt, you know, like to lose your child. It's unbelievable. But to know that you have a family around you that's been called out into love to love you requires you to be a part of that family. It requires you to love the people around you too. I want to encourage you guys, if you're not involved in a group like that, if you don't have a circle of friends that you love, that you sacrifice for, that you know is going to pick you up and lift you towards Christ, get involved in one. Your life groups are designed that way. You have life group leaders who love you, and I guarantee you will sacrifice for you. That's why they're doing this job. But it takes us taking those things seriously and actually saying, God, do this work in us. Make us a body of Christ that really loves each other. I want to read you one last verse as I close. This is my conclusion. I just want to read something from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. It says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I pray that God makes us a people, a family, that knows the pains and the hurts of other people around us and takes it serious and puts them first. That we suffer with them. That we love enough to say, here I am. I'm not leaving your side. Just like those ladies, I'm not leaving your side. I'm here with you through the pain. But I'm also here to celebrate and rejoice when it's time for that too. Let's be a family. Will you guys pray with me? God, we recognize that we've been loved in a way that we don't deserve. The fact that we can sit here and talk to you, that your presence is in this room right now, that the Holy Spirit indwells those of us who believe in you. God, we're here. We're talking to the God of the universe. And that's because of love. God, love that you displayed to us. And your Son died for us. Thank you for forgiving us. God, we ask that you teach us how to love the way you loved us. Let it overflow out of us. Teach us to sacrifice and be selfless and put other people first. God, make us a good family, a good body of believers that lift each other up to point each other to Jesus Christ and his cross and his forgiveness. Thank you for loving us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.